You're listening to an audio sermon presentation from the Reverend Paul W. Simrell, pastor of Elpis Christian Church, Maidens, Virginia. You can learn more about our congregation and its ministries by visiting elpischurch.org. We also hope that you'll continue to access other sermons, Bible study, and meditation materials, resources for pastoral counseling, and more by visiting our church's blog, which can be found at igw3.blog. That's the number 3, igw3.blog, or paulsimrell.com, or by visiting our congregation's Facebook page. Now, here's today's message. Our scripture verse today comes from the book of Philippians in the New Testament, the 4th chapter, the 4th through the 9th verses. That's Philippians 4. 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. My dad and mom grew up in the Great Depression. My dad was born in 1922, so he was only 7 years old when the stock market crashed. Now, he and his family didn't care about the stock market. They were too poor to own any stock. But they sure cared about the bank, and the grocery store, and the gas station, and how they were going to make ends meet. Somehow, they did. One way was that my dad's dad was a butcher with Kroger, and he could bring home meat scraps when they couldn't get anything else. It's always been hard for me to fully appreciate what it must have been like in those days, having grown up in what, for me, were prosperous and comfortable times in suburban America. My dad and mom, though, were never fully healed from the scars of those harsh economic times. Now many are wondering whether we will be experiencing such harsh times again. In fact, many already are. That's why I want to talk about abundance today. I want to talk about how to live abundantly as Scripture defines it, even in the toughest of times. And I hope these words will speak to you, whether you are, for now, still living relatively comfortably, or you and your family are going through a very fear-inducing time of want. Scripture is very clear on the matter. As Jesus himself said, "The thief cometh not but to steal and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it abundantly." The Lord's own promise to us. And it's a promise given to us all through the Old and New Testaments alike. It's a promise that says we can live abundantly even when we don't know where the next rent payment is coming from. That's a tall promise, but many of the faithful over the years would assure you that it is one on which we can count. So what are the types of abundance we are promised, no matter what? Number one, abundant joy. Psalm 36, 6 through 9 says, O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. When I read about that drinking from the fountain of life, I couldn't help but think about a news article I saw recently that said that while many businesses were struggling to stay alive, our liquor stores were operating at holiday sales levels. That's the world's idea of drinking to be happy. Scripture goes in a whole different direction. We are invited to drink deeply and fully from the fountain of life, Jesus himself. He said he was the river of life, and whoever drank from his love would never be thirsty. That's abundant joy. You know what's wrong with taking the world's route on this? Chemically speaking, alcohol is a depressant. Some of us drink it to lighten our hearts, clear our minds, free up our tongues, and make us so attractive and give us such a charming personality. Or so we think. Then the chemical properties of the depressant kick in full force, and suddenly the sky is falling. That will never happen when you drink from Christ's love and abiding peace and the abundant joy he offers, which will never run dry. Number two, abundant life. That passage from John 10:10, where Jesus contrasts his purpose with that of Satan, the thief and destroyer. He promises life itself, even while on the way to the cross. The statistics are devastating, to be sure. Over 80,000 dead in this country alone. How can we possibly speak of life when confronted by such data? But we must. To do anything less is to give into despair. The Christian message that physical death is not the end of the story, resurrection is a message that needs to be heard repeatedly right now. We must deliver it in a way that is sensitive to the deep pain and grief of those who have lost someone. But nevertheless, we must deliver it compassionately and consistently as the Spirit guides. Number three, abundant grace. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work." In all things, at all times. No qualification, no conditions, no allowance for whether there is a world pandemic or not. Just in all things, at all times, we will have all we need. How can he say such a thing with a voice of authority we can trust? Because he lived it himself. He had gone through far more for the sake of Jesus than any of us have. Beaten, left for dead, starved, followed by riotous crowds and his enemy's spies everywhere, and yes, eventually martyred for his faith. Still, he spoke of God's grace that worked so abundantly through his life. We can experience the same. Not only that, it enables us to not just be recipients of grace, but givers of it. Psychologists will tell us, and for that matter, good old mom will tell it to you as well. One of the greatest ways you can find joy, no matter what your circumstances, is to get your mind off yourself and go help someone. Suddenly we find we're not alone in our feeling of want or need. Even more, we find there are others far more in need than we are right now. That's the power of abundant grace, not just received, but freely given. And we can all use a little grace right now. Number 4, abundant power. Ephesians 3:20 offers a benediction, a blessing, not just to the church at Ephesus, but for us all. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Isn't it great that such a benediction is available to us today in the here and now? Can't figure out how to ask for something of God, or even how to ask for anything right now? Can't imagine how we're going to get through this? Here's the answer. Give God the glory for what he is doing right now that we do not even know about, to bring hope and life where there seems to be only despair and death. One of the great struggles we're having now, individually and as a people, is that we feel powerless. But powerlessness is not helplessness. We need to remember that. Work to be a conduit of God's power rather than a generator of your own. And just watch what God can do with that. Number 5, abundant supplies. Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches." Did you notice something extraordinary there? We are to thank God while we are asking to have our needs met for what he has already done. We are not to wait to see how it turns out according to our estimation and limited vision, and then say thanks if we think he deserves it. We are to ask and thank him all at the same time. That is how abundant supplies will be made available at just the right time. And finally, number 6, abundant entrance. 2 Peter 1:11 says, "And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This is the most important promise of all. No matter how things work out in the short run, we are given an abundant, rock-solid promise that one day we will enter the kingdom where there is no want, now or ever. In a classic Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown goes to Lucy for psychiatric help. He says, "What can you do when you don't fit in? What can you do when life seems to be passing you by?" Lucy leads Charlie away from her booth and says, "Follow me. I want to show you something. See the horizon over there? See how big this world is? See how much room there is for everybody? Have you ever seen any other worlds? Charlie replies meekly, no. She continues, as far as you know, this is the only world there is, right? Even more meekly, Charlie says, right. Lucy presses on, there are no other worlds for you to live in, right? Charlie admits, right. You were born to live in this world, right? Right, says Charlie. Lucy then explodes. Well, live in it then. 5 cents, please. While we may disagree with Lucy's counseling technique, we recognize she's on to something. We need to make the most of our lives and really live. We need to, and we can, live abundantly, even now, in this world, right now. Because, after all, it is the only world we've been given in which to live, right? I hope today you've heard in these words of Scripture something that will balance out all you hear in every 24 news cycle of doom and gloom, death and despair, economic worry, disgruntlement, and all the rest. We can live abundantly. That's God's promise. And God always keeps His promises. Amen.